All right, this is my reflective summary of my Holocaust project. Grant, if you're listening to this in the future, this is 8th grade history. You did a dude named Jack Mayer. So let's get right into it. So I did my summary already, but wouldn't hurt to go back to it. So you're in Speyer, Germany in 1929, and Alfred and Elsie Mayer had just had a young boy in 1927, but now they have their second son in 1929. And so, at the beginning of his life, he's living a completely happy, normal existence as a toddler. He's playing around with friends, riding bikes, falling down, all these brand new lessons that you're learning as a young child, just like an American would. Then in Germany, in 1933, in Speyer, it starts to get a little sketchy. The Nazis start showing their power, and Jack begins to get these childhood perceptions of what is to come, because he knows that he's grown up with this perfection society, and now stuff is changing. For example, his dad owns a shoe store. The Nazis came into it, and they didn't exactly take it over, but they killed his business, and in that, they did that by, they marked it as a Jewish-owned business, they barricaded the doors, they made it so that only their families and their Nazi people could succeed. Just like Gerda Weissman, he had to go live in his basement for a while, just like them. But this happens later on in the story, so I'll get back to that. But so, we're at the part where the Nazis have just taken over the shoe store, and it's time for Bernard, his older brother, to begin the first grade. So at this point, Jack is 4 years old, and Bernard is six. So, Bernard enters the first grade, and he goes to a German public school for about 3 months. But then a letter gets sent home to all of the Jewish families saying that Jewish children are no longer allowed in the German public school system. So, a school was created in their local synagogue, and that's where Bernard went, along with every other Jewish child in Speyer from grades 1 to grade 8. And this is when Jack and Bernard both really began to experience the anti-Semitism that would come with the Holocaust. So, Bernard excelled in his Jewish school because there weren't very many kids. There wasn't competition there. So, Bernard would grow up to be a great student, and he would learn a lot at that Jewish school. Possibly, it could be argued that he would learn more there than he would at any German public school. And then Jack, in his interview, would go on to talk about some childhood anti-Semitism experiences. And this is when he was about 4 or 5 at this time still. And the friends that he would go out and play with, the friends that he would crash bikes into each other with, just all the fun stuff that little kids do, they stopped playing with him. They called him a dirty Jew. And it wasn't because it was the kids thinking these things, it was the parents. These children were raised anti-Semitic. That's just, the crazy thing about that is, these kids were best friends, and then at the blink of an eye, they're strangers. It's crazy. Like, that would never happen in the United States. That's just preposterous. And so, then it comes time for Jack to enter the first grade in 1936. And so he goes to school. And he said in his interview that he was the best student in the Jewish first grade because he was the only student there. Every other child that was his age had either been sent to a camp, they had been killed, or they had been immigrated to the United States. And this is the part where I mentioned that he had to go live in his basement. And just like Gerda, a high-ranking officer of the Nazi army took his family to go live in the mayor family's home. And so the mayors had to move into their basement for about 2 months. And then they snuck out, and well, right before that, they got a letter from their uncle that had immigrated to a place called Ottawa, Ohio. It's a farming community just south of Toledo. And excuse me. And so they got this letter, and it had their visas to enter the United States, and it had tickets to go on a boat to get to the States. And that was just freedom for the mayors. They were safe. They were going to get out of there. But first, they had to get themselves out. So in the middle of the night, mind you, their house was about 30 miles from the harbor. It was just south of Frankfurt. So in the middle of the night, they snuck out and they started their flight. And people get this confused. Well, you probably won't, you're a history teacher. But flight is, they didn't get on an airplane and fly. It was 1936. Flight is their fancy word for getting out of there. And so them and their extended family took flight to the harbor near their house. And they got on the boat. And they went to Toledo, Ohio. This was in August of 1939. And then whenever they got to the States, their entire family was giving them aid, which is incredible. This is perfect that they made it to the United States as a Jewish family, that the chances were better than not that they would have all been executed in Nazi Germany had they stayed one more year, because that's when the Holocaust really started to get dirty. So they got to Ohio, Toledo. Some of their family went to Cleveland. Some went to Cincinnati. But the mayors were in Toledo. And they were getting aid from their other family, and they were giving aid to their extended family members. This was in late 1939. And then they were helping other Jewish refugees to get out of Nazi Germany. So they were sending them visas. They were letting them live with them. And the mayors had to start selling their personal property just so they could help others to get out of there, which is really brave at that point, because you're living in the United States where it's a brand new country. You assume that you're safe, but are you really? Like, there are lots of Jewish people here that are safe, but there's a chance that it could all backfire. So you're giving up your personal possessions, you're giving up your money to help others, which is extremely brave. And so then all goes well, and then the mayor boys, it's time for them to start American school. And Bernard had been learning English as a class when he was in the Jewish school. But Jack didn't speak a lick of English. He still wore his German clothes. So when he went to school, he was horridly bullied, horribly made fun of. And so Bernard started the first grade with Jack in America instead of going to the fourth grade where he should have. And so once Bernard became mentally strong enough to go to the fourth grade, he did. But Jack was bullied so badly. Think about that. There's a six-year-old who could have been murdered. He was excluded from everything. He was bullied by his own country. Now he goes to this new country for freedom, and he's getting horribly bullied there. How awful that must feel. So he's in this English school, or this American school, and he's actually starting to learn really well. He made the statement that he started off in the lowest reading group, and by the time he was ending the second grade, he was one of the best readers in the school, which that's awesome for Jack, because I personally feel like that was detrimental to his success. And so then the Mayer boys just grew up as normal old American kids. They had a great time. But then in 1942, the Americans put some restrictions on the Jews. They could only travel 30 miles from their home without getting government permission. Now think about this. They have aunts, uncles, cousins, grandmas, grandpas that live in Cleveland. They live in Cincinnati. They live in rural parts of Ohio. So how do you go visit grandma and grandpa that are across the state from you if you can't travel 30 miles from your home? You don't. So they didn't see their families for years. But they still stayed strong. And eventually, their restrictions were cut back. They lost those restrictions, which is very great for them. And then in about 1945, Jack wanted to join the civil defense. So that is similar to the Civil Air Patrol or the Boy Scouts. And it was civilians that flew planes and did other types of intel to help the United States military during the time of World War II. And so Jack went to the Toledo Civil Defense Station and said, "I want to become a civil defense warden." And the lady stood up, leaned over the counter, and told him that he was an enemy alien because he was born in Germany. He went to go leave Germany because they were murdering his people, but he's an enemy German alien. That's also got to feel horrible. So, at this point, Bernard and Jack go to their home, and they grow up as normal Americans. They're super patriotic, super patriotic. They love their country. And they just grow up as normal Americans. And they get their families going and all that. And they grow up and they start moving across the country and they start getting in touch. And he said something very similar to what Gerda said. And he said, "I'm in Tampa Bay now. I have 20 grandchildren. I have 6 children. And I have 2 great-grandchildren." And he said the exact same thing that Gerda did. "The Nazis were trying to wipe out the Jews. But I'm just here making more Jews." And so that just feels incredible. Whether you're a Jew, you're a Catholic, I don't care who you are. That's incredible to hear this success story. And people say, "Oh, he didn't have to go through the death marches. He didn't have to go to a camp." No. But he's still a survivor of the Holocaust. Can you imagine right now living in your normal country and then tomorrow a non-government militia rises up, takes you out of your home, sends you to a school that you can only put the minority, your religion in. You go through these hard times. You live in your basement, no food, no water, no electricity. You have to sneak out in the middle of night to immigrate to another country. And then you're treated horribly in that country too. So he's still a Holocaust survivor and he still deserves the same amount of glory as people like Gerda. Sure, did Gerda survive a death march? Yes. Did Gerda survive this, this, and this? Yes. Am I discrediting Gerda? No. But am I also going to discredit Jack? Not at all. So now, he is a 72-year-old, I think, in the Tampa Bay area. And every year, he participates in the International March of the Living. So that is a kind of like a field trip for high school juniors and seniors to go to places like Auschwitz and to go to places like Jerusalem to see what the Holocaust actually was. And Jack has just gone to really experience this with these high school kids again. But this last year in 2019, I'm sorry, 2015. This is an old video. In 2015, he got to teach these kids. He got to be the instructor. He got to be the tour guide. So he took these kids to Speyer on their way to Auschwitz. They went to Speyer. They went and saw the synagogue that he learned in. They went and saw the basement that he lived in. And that's just a life-changing experience for these kids because they really think that things in the United States can be hard. But really, the things that these poor people went through is just so extreme on a global level. And then his interview slows down, and he shows some things that he was able to salvage from his parents. And it was an old chair that they had had. And it had all these nice carvings on it. But while that Nazi officer was living in their house, they had carved a giant swastika into the side of it. So Alfred, Jack's father, when they were leaving, stole that chair. And he restored it. And it is such a beautiful chair. It's the same chair that Jack sat in while his parents told him what his fate was going to be. He had to go to a new school. They were going to a new country. And while it may have seemed scary at the same time, it saved his life. And so, when I really look at this interview and this story, it really, like, the Holocaust thing really gets to me. Like, there are people that cry at movies, cry at TV shows. I don't even do that. Not ever did I think I would get choked up in a history documentary, but I did twice. This one and Gerda. So you really have to look at the effect that this has on people, because it really is just incredible what these people have gone through and incredible what these people can do when given the chance to succeed. So I'm going to leave it there. But if anyone is listening to this, reflect today. Think about what you take for granted. Because how awful would it be to have your life flipped upside down on a dime?